Here we are. Let me just tell you that Covenant Grove is a fun church and a risk-taking church. Preaching on K-pop demon hunters. My name's Neil. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm glad you're here for the fun and for the risk-taking. I believe it's worth it, though. Hey, before we get going in the service, I just want to acknowledge that we've got a feathered friend in the room. He's flying around right up there. Live stream, this is why we come in. We come in for the raffles, and we come in for the animal life. You can't see it, but there's a bird flying around up here. And bless you, little birdie. All right. So welcome to God at the Movies. This is really fun. This is my first experience of a church doing something like that. I've been here for almost a year, and we're just loving what Covenant Grove does. If you're new here, you've come on a fun Sunday. We're speaking into stories that the movies tell, and we're asking a careful question. We're asking, how does this movie connect or conflict with the reality of our lives and the truth of the Bible? We believe that all stories, all movies that are told, either connect with or conflict with the truth of the Scriptures. And while this movie about is about K-pop, and it is about hunting demons, this movie is really about shame and belonging. Here we go. Girl band Huntrix song, Golden. I've lived two lives, tried to play both sides, but I couldn't find my own place. Our culture, Brené Brown, psychologist, she says, true belonging only happens when we present our authentic, imperfect selves to the world. The movie again. Golden, waited so long to break these walls down, to wake up and feel like me. No more hiding, I'll be shining like I'm born to be, because we are hunters, voices strong, and I know, I believe, we're going up, up, up. This is our moment. You know, together we're glowing. Gonna be golden. Oh, up, up, up with our voices. Something in Korean. Gonna be golden. And then our Bible. 1 John 1:7. If we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. Fellowship is a churchy word for deep friendship and connection. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And it turns out that this movie, K-pop Demon Hunters, is not just a fluffy cartoon for kids or teens. What drives this incredibly popular movie is the deepest cry of the human heart, and connects a profound theme that the Bible speaks about all over, at the core of who I am, at the deepest part of me, when the light shines down into every aspect of my life. Am I loved? Do I belong? Am I enough? And the most common answer to that question is no. I don't feel loved. I don't feel like I'm enough. I don't belong. Huntrix, Mira, she's ashamed at her rebel personality and doesn't think she deserves a family. Zoe is a deeply insecure people pleaser, hoping to belong, and Rumi's entire life is lived in the shadow of being a half-demon. So released 1 year ago, June 2025, K-pop Demon Hunters is Netflix's most watched film in history. More than 628 million views worldwide. Someone I know watched the movie 3 times the day it was released. Anybody watch it more than 3 times? More? A few more? How many? Maybe more. Yeah, you just kept going. You just repeated it all day. Incredible. A lot of people have told me how much they've loved this movie, and for some, it's their favorite movie. And you know what? I can see why. From lighthearted moments like this to the very dry humor of this moment. Okay, this high-energy K-pop drama, it showcases ancient Korean mythology and culture to express the pervasive human struggle between good and evil, between belonging and shame. And it has definitely struck a resonating chord with the 628 million who have been watching it this year. Let me remind you of the plot in just 60 seconds. So, for those of you who haven't seen it 17 times, the evil firepower, Guima, sends demons to capture human souls so that he can consume them and grow in power. Just as the spirituality of traditional Korean culture, where female spiritual leaders use song and dance to protect villages, this is a Korean traditional culture thing, the demon hunters, known as the K-pop band Huntrix, use their voices and some pretty awesome weaponry to stop the demons and to build a protective shield over the world to keep the demons out. But Rumi, the lead singer for Huntrix, is hiding a secret. She is part demon herself. And so she's on a personal quest to sing a song so powerful that the protective shield becomes complete forever, because she believes that only then the demon part of her will be erased and she'll be free from the shame of who she is. Well, the evil Guima sends a boy band, a demon boy band, to stop Huntrix's efforts. And after many profound lyrics and catchy songs, Rumi and the demon boy band leader turned friend defeat Guima and save the world. And it's hard to tell what's going on in this picture, but trust me, the world is being saved in this moment. Now, I know that this movie is not everyone's favorite, but the story of shame and the cry for belonging is common to many of us. In fact, I would say that it's common to most of us. You know, I gasped at the first time I saw this clip in the video when Guima is whispering negative narratives in people's ears. Take a look at this. This is a common experience. Voices of shame. We're not good enough, not strong enough, not pretty enough, not smart enough, not lovable enough, not enough, just not enough. You're just not enough. And these voices loop in our ears. Without the power of the Huntrix song to protect them, all the people start listening to the demonic voices of shame. In the lowest moment of Rumi's experience, she says, "I am a mistake, and I have been since the day I was born." You know, evil thrives on our feelings of worthlessness and shame. This demonic narrative in the movie is surprisingly similar to the narrative account of evil in the Bible. This is the lie that Satan whispers to the first humans in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3, it speaks of the origins of sin and shame, and it tells us about the first time the human heart cried out, "Am I enough?" So, to get us into Genesis 3, I would like to invite James up to read the scripture for us. James, you are among friends. If you'd like to join in, it is on page 3-2. You'll find it. It's right towards the beginning. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1-7. And as we do in our church, after James reads, he'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and we can reply, "Thanks be to God." And finally, if you're able, would you stand for the reading of God's word? All right, thanks, Brent.
"The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked woman, 'Did God really say, must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Of course you may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden.' The woman replied, 'It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat,' God said. 'You must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die.' 'You won't die,' the serpent replied to the woman. 'God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil.' The woman was convinced. She saw that the fruit was beautiful, and the fruits looked delicious. She wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were open, and suddenly they felt shame at their nakedness, so they sewed together some leaves together to cover themselves." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. James, thank you so much. Good job. You may be seated, and would you pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for these words that James read for us. And would you help us? Would you let these words connect with our own experience and help us see? Help us see what you want us to see in our lives and in our world, and that we would be changed by you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our King. Amen. This shame began in Genesis 3, has affected every human generation ever since. Satan whispers, "We're not good enough." He whispers it to Adam and Eve, "You're not good enough without that knowledge of good and evil." He suggests that they need to be more than God created them to be. God created them to not need to eat the fruit. And he told them, "Hey, don't eat the fruit. It's not for you." But now they believe that without eating the fruit, they'll never be enough. Kind of good that Satan came along to help them find that out, right? Do you know what that's like? Do you know what that's like to feel like you're not enough? That there's something incomplete in you. That you're not all that you should be. Eve and Adam were starting to listen to the whispers in their ears. So they're standing there looking at the looking with the serpent at the tree, considering the fruit. Here they are standing there, looking at this tree, considering the fruit. What are their options? In this moment, what are their options? Well, option one, they could raise their hand and they could say, God, question. God, could you advise us on a situation that we're considering right now? Are we enough without eating the fruit, or do we need to do it? And they could hear what God had to say. That's an option. Option two, they could do what the devil said and try to deal with their experience of emptiness themselves on their own. And unfortunately, as we know, that's what they do. They took the fruit. Their eyes were opened. They felt that they were going to fulfill their life, but surprise, they now feel even more shame about who they are. It didn't work. They realize that they're naked and they hide. Verse 7. They realize that they are naked and they take fig leaves and they sew them to cover themselves. That was the result of their efforts. What they thought would complete them actually made them more incomplete. What they thought would free them from shame actually made them feel more shame. And the same can be true of us. You know, I've been reading this excellent book by Chuck DeGroat called Healing What's Within. Whew. It is painful and it is powerful. Chuck is a Christian therapist, and he tells a true story of two brothers came into his office. And these two brothers, they grew up in a tragically painful household. So much of the shame that we experience starts when we're kids. When these two boys become adults, though, their paths appear to diverge dramatically. But both are actually doing the same thing. Both are trying to deal with their shame and hide it. One brother becomes an addict. Drugs, alcohol, finding just enough money for the next hit, sleeping on the street or a couch, wherever he can find one. The second brother becomes a high-powered lawyer in San Francisco, gaining lots of wealth, attaining all the benefits that money can buy. And as he comes in for counseling, Chuck realizes that they're doing the same thing. They're both trying to cover up their shame. Both feel ashamed of their attempts to cover up their shame. What are the options for these brothers? Option one, they can raise their hands and say, "God, we're in trouble. Help, please." Option two, they can continue covering up their shame by grabbing at drugs and work to make them feel complete. Back to our movie. Rumi in K-Pop Demon Hunters faces a similar choice. Option one. Well, option one in ancient Korean mythology, the movie doesn't have much space for the reality of God, so more on that in a minute. But option two, she can do what she's been told to do her entire life. Hide your faults and your fears. Cover up your demon marks. Don't let anyone know. Keep working hard to get rid of them. And as she tries option two, she discovers that it doesn't work. It only gets worse. And so then the movie presents option three. Option three is quite possibly the most popular option in America today. Option three shows up in school classrooms, in therapist consulting rooms. It shows up in the songs we sing, in the stories we tell, and in the movies we watch. We heard about option three last Sunday when Rachel preached about the Wizard of Oz and the scriptures that connect to it. Rachel said the good witch Glinda tells Dorothy that Dorothy possesses the solution to her problems all along. Just tap those ruby slippers. Option three is authenticity and self-improvement. Instead of hiding their faults and fears, K-pop Demon Hunters concludes that the secret to dealing with shame and defeating evil is to authentically embrace who we are and then work to improve ourselves. This movie tells the world that has watched it 628 million times that they need to realize that you have the power to deal with your shame, not through self-medicating, not through masking, but through authenticity. Get honest with yourself, accept yourself, and then redefine yourself. Now, what our culture finds so compelling about this message is that it is true. It's an important truth. Well, honestly, it's only 50% of the truth. But let's talk about the true part. Here's the true part of this movie. Rumi and Jinu, they bond. Maybe they even fall in love over sharing their authentic selves. And they sing, "We can't fix it if we never face it." This is true. We need to fully face ourselves. Walk in the light, as 1 John said in the Bible. And then there's the deeply profound lyrics, like in Soda Pop. No, just kidding. Not that song. Not that song. I mean the lyrics in a song called What It Sounds Like. Listen in. This is so profound for people who try to cover up their shameful experiences and thoughts. Listen. And one of the reasons that K-pop Demon Hunters has been so popular is that it presents this crucial truth. Humans do have faults and fears, as we see in Genesis 3, but we don't need to hide them. In fact, healing starts when we get deeply honest about our faults and our fears, to deeply understand what's going on inside us. Cinema therapy YouTubers, they're a therapist and a filmmaker who comment on lots of movies, and they point out this same thing in their commentary on this movie. They say, to be truly loved, you have to be seen. And to be seen, you have to be honest with who you are. This is what the Bible has been saying over and over and over, just with less dancing. The Apostle Paul picks up this theme in his letter to the church in Rome. He says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. We simply need to realize it." 1 John 1:8, "If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and we're not living in the truth." God calls us to face our authentic selves, to get honest about who we really are. And this truth is deeply important for each of us to get honest about. We're not enough. We have faults. We have fears. You don't need to pretend. You know, I was walking in this morning and a couple of people asked me how I was doing. And I know because I'm preaching about shame, I felt like I should respond honestly. And I actually told them, you know, I'm feeling a little ashamed right now. I feel like I'm not actually enough of the person that I want to be. And they didn't leave. And they didn't hate me. And they just responded compassionately. This is not a church where you need to pretend to be more than who you are. This is a church where you can be honest. You can be honest about your faults and fears. Amen. You can be honest about your doubts and your insecurities and your mistakes and your pain. And you can discover what so many of us have discovered, that when you're honest about who you are deep down, you're going to be welcomed and embraced and loved. And people will say compassionate things to care for you. Come with me. Let's talk to Jesus. The more honest you get, the more you'll belong and be loved. That's 50% of the truth. But here's where K-pop Demon Hunters contrasts with the biblical story. Because in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, if we face our authentic selves, what does it say? Does it say we'll get better at self-improvement and self-realization? Will we become better able to achieve our goals through an authentic exploration of our human heart? No. It doesn't. It says, if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the rest of the truth that K-pop Demon Hunters omits. This is 100% of the truth. God did not create humans to go through it on their own. And God did not create humans to deal with sin and shame on their own. God created every single person. He created you. He created me to go through life in this beautifully dependent, beautifully connected relationship with God and God's people. Pastor Rachel made this point last week. She said, we don't have the power within us. You know, we don't have the power within us to solve our shame and our longings. Rachel quoted Ephesians chapter 3, that we actually need to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit deep within us to become the people God created us to be. And God is able to do abundantly more than all that we can ask or imagine. And that, church, is 100% of the truth. And here's the strange thing. The strange thing is that our culture knows this about cancer, but ignores it about life. Shame is like cancer. And if you try to stuff down the reality that you have cancer and you ignore it, you will die. And so 50% of the solution is to admit that you have cancer. If you have cancer, I am deeply sorry. I know some people in our church are going through it right now. Lord, would you heal them? Heal our loved ones who have cancer, God. Amen. If you have cancer, it is crucial that you get authentic about it. Am I right? But then you don't stop there. The other 50% of the solution is to get help from a power greater than yourself. You need a well-funded medical team and a great insurance policy. Or you need God to heal you directly. You can't heal yourself from cancer, no matter how authentically you try to do it. That's 100% of the truth. Our culture knows this about diseases, but believes you only need 50% of that truth for human life. 100% of the truth is that we get honest about our authentic selves. And then the rest, and then once we get honest, we rest in the love of Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. And it's God, Father, Son, and Spirit who frees us from shame and leads us into the complete human life. Listen to Psalm 34:5. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces will never be covered in shame. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far He has removed our transgressions from us. Transgressions. Those bring shame, and God is removing them from us. And then Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Jesus. Here's one more, Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, Jesus embarks on a shameful activity. Here it is. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 27. As Jesus left the town, He saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed Him. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus at the guests of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with him. But the Pharisees, the teachers of religious law, complained bitterly to Jesus, why do you eat and drink with such scum? Those people are shameful, Jesus. You shouldn't associate with them. If you do, you're shameful too. You're bringing shame upon yourself. Jesus answered them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. Jesus has come to call those who know that they are sinners and they need to repent. This is why I love Jesus. If Jesus was written into the plot of Demon Hunters, cue hopeful swell of music, Jesus would step onto the stage and say, I have not come for the healthy, but the sick. Jesus has come for everyone who is ashamed. Jesus has come for everyone who realizes they are sick. And Jesus invites us out of hiding to face our authentic self, but he doesn't stop there. He frees us from our shame. He heals us from our sin. That's why Jesus dies on the cross and offers us the forgiveness and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit so that we can take our rightful place in God's mission. Cue the triumphant symphony. This is 100% of the truth that you and I are created to live in close relationship with God. And it's only in this close relationship with God that we can do all that we were created to do. That's 100% true. Ella Langley, she is a real life musician. In fact, she's one of the most popular singers in America right now. Last month, in the middle of a concert, she paused the concert and she started talking about Jesus, and she said this quote. She said, "I used to think I was going to be the thing that fixed me, but I wasn't the one to do that. It's our Lord and Savior. The one thing that has changed my mind and has changed my life is God." Think about this. Jesus, part of the Trinity, the God of the universe, who has a vision for how life is to be lived, has power to share, has forgiveness to offer. But who misses out on Jesus? It's the religious leaders in Luke 5 who think that they're going to improve themselves on their own. And who gets to have all that Jesus offers? It's Matthew, the ashamed tax collector, and his sinner friends. It's any person who's brave enough to realize that you're broken, that I'm broken, that I am needy. And Jesus has come for these types of people. Do you want Jesus to come for you? Do you want Jesus to come for you? Hey, worship team, you guys what? Come on up. Let me tell you three steps. If you want Jesus to come for you, to deal with your shame in the most whole way imaginable, here's three steps. Step number one, the first step is to come out of hiding and say, "Wow, I need Jesus." And maybe that's you here today. Maybe for the first time, you think, "This guy's talking about something that I need. I don't think I have Jesus. I need Jesus in my life." And so the first step is to say, "Jesus, I need you." Jesus will start to show you that you are deeply loved, but then he'll uncover some deeper pain in your heart, and you'll start to feel shame again. It'll happen. And so the second step is to come out of hiding and again and say, "Wow, I need Jesus." And Jesus will show you that he is with you, and his people, the church, will support you. And then this will happen. Jesus will get down further, get down to your core, to things that you have forgotten or ignored or don't want to face about who you are or about things that have happened in your life. And you'll feel shame and you'll want to hide. And so step number three, friends, this is vital. Step number three is to say, "Wow, I need Jesus." Chuck DeGroat, again, in his book, Healing the Hurt Within. "To live freely and fully from here is to know that you were created for deep worth, that you've been uniquely designed for dignity, that God delights in you, that you are enough at your core. It's to know that you were created for belonging. God, the Trinity, creates you for union and communion, for interdependence and intimacy with God and with each other and with creation. This is the more hopeful story that you've been designed for." Church, Jesus has come for us in all our shame to help us be free from hiding and to fill us with a new life in a way that we can't do ourselves. Wow. We need Jesus. Jesus, we're here. Thank you for your word to us. As we sing to you, would you keep speaking to us, Lord? Amen.